Guesswork by Jenna Coma, an SGA, McKay and Shepard fanfic, rated PG. McKay and Shepard stumble back home to what Shepard now called their double wide, even though he only did this in front of Ronan and Taylor, who had no idea what he was talking about. It was dark, and they both fell into bed with their clothes on, wanting to be ready to rescue their daughter at a moment's notice. Rodney reclined on the bed, his back bolstered by pillows so that he was sitting up. "Hey, how come I never get any pillows?" "You don't need pillows," Rodney said, tapping the left side of his chest. John smirked in the darkness, crawling into bed and resting his head against Rodney. "Whenever I wake up, you're either lying flat on the bed or on me," Rodney complained, but the caress of his fingers in John's hair and along his spine said Rodney didn't mind at all. He muttered about how John should pick the name, but Rodney reserved the power to veto. "Leia," John suggests in the darkness. "Pretty, but way too obvious." "What about naming her after Weir?" John said. Rodney thinks aloud. "Good idea. Even if Catherine is a little traditional for my tastes. I guess we should name her after her mother if we're honoring fallen expedition members," Rodney thinks aloud. "Good point. I like Caitlin," John murmured, then added, "What's her first name?" "Ripley," Rodney said. "Nice, but let's not set her up to battle killer aliens for a living." "Starbuck?" "Rodney, I like Battlestar Galactica as much as the next guy, but no." "Well, I don't hear you giving any better suggestions." "Beverly." "Yuck," Rodney dismissed. "Troy." "Better, but I refuse to give her a name from Star Trek. If we have to go with a fan name, I prefer something from a better fandom," Rodney said, not caring if he sounded like a snob because on Atlantis, everyone would know exactly where the name came from and he'd be damned if his colleagues thought he was a Trekkie. "Nyota." "Okay, I'll give you points for Uhura since Classic Trek is far more respectable, but still, no," Rodney decided. "Sarah?" "Connor or Jane Smith?" "Connor, of course," John clarified indignantly. "What was I thinking? It would be the one who can cock a shotgun one-handed. Doesn't matter, too plain," Rodney said. "Pris," John said, starting to think it didn't matter what he suggested. Rodney would find a way to say no. John knew that in the end, Rodney would pick the name. This was just a guessing game they played to see if he could figure out what Rodney wanted. "Didn't she crush a man's skull with her thighs?" "Yeah." John clearly thinks this is a selling point. "No." Rodney is appalled. "Buffy." "No comment, Colonel." "Leelu." "Don't make me shoot you." "Then you make suggestions while I shoot you down. I'm doing all the work here, McKay." "I chose Caitlin. You choose the first name," Rodney said, kind of lamely, since Caitlin was mostly a joint decision and he just wanted Shepard to feel like this was his child too, as if naming her would make him more responsible somehow. "Aaron," Shepard said with a sigh. "I like it, maybe," Rodney said, obviously not convinced. "Leia, She'll be the princess of Atlantis, Rodney. Oh, it's perfect. John yawned, forgetting his plan to stay awake. Rodney, who loved Star Wars, thought it was kind of corny, but he didn't say so. He drifted off to sleep and woke the next morning with an arm anchored across his waist and lips moving against his side. "Hmm?" Rodney murmured, rubbing his eyes and suddenly remembering the night before. "Oh my God! Why didn't they call us? She has to be hungry now." Rodney bolted up, knocking John to the side as he jumped out of bed. "I'm sure they fed her, Rodney. Calm down. Shower. Let's get breakfast before we get her," John said, wondering if he should just start calling her Caitlin. Rodney insisted they stop by the infirmary on their way to breakfast, just to make sure everything was all right. They found Dr. Keller looking over her vitals in the nursery as the baby slept peacefully. "Hey, Dads. She's still out, but her next feeding should be in about an hour if you want to come back and get her then," Keller whispered. John walked up to the bassinet to get a closer look. "Hey," John said, but he was careful not to touch since Dr. Keller watched him like a hawk. Rodney stared at the helpless little person and his heart thudded like it would jump out of his chest. "Can she come home? Being in the infirmary can't be good for someone so tiny with an undeveloped immune system. Can you imagine all the alien viruses she's risking just by breathing this air? Can we take her home now?" Rodney demanded, and Keller just grinned. Shepard was touching the drawstring at the bottom of the tiny smock, searching for the 10 toes he was almost certain he counted a few hours ago. "Yep, everything looks good. If you're ready for her, I'll release her after her next feeding," she said, ushering them out of the room when it looked like Shepard was about to wake his daughter. "Of course, I'll need a name for the records," she smiled, waiting with wide eyes as Shepard rolled his eyes and McKay's chin jutted stubbornly in the air. "Leia, Caitlin, Shepard," John said defiantly, just to get a rise out of McKay. "Over my dead body? Boys, go argue and shout someplace else," Keller said, pushing them out of the infirmary. "Why not?" "Because it's corny, Colonel," McKay said, more than a little exasperated as Taylor and Ronan joined them at the table, wisely not asking questions, but sharing an amused look at their friend's antics. "Ronan," John said, "what do you think of the name Leia?" "It's fine." "There, see? It's fine," John said. "Exactly. Why pick a name that's just fine? This is the Princess of Atlantis. You said so yourself. Besides, I hardly think Conan should get a vote. No offense." Rodney gave Ronan a condescending smile, and the Satetan growled in response, startling the scientist. "None taken," he said, pulling a knife from some hidden pocket in his vest and plunging toward McKay, spearing and stealing his pancakes. Rodney squeaked in fear and didn't even object. "On Satita, children are named when they are born. You look into their eyes and see their future. This allows you to pick the right name," Ronan explained, surprised that the Earth customs were so unenlightened. Rodney would have made fun of Ronan's mystical hocus pocus, but the Satetan seemed so certain of his customs, and Rodney was thrown since they've been arguing for hours and were no closer to a name than when they first started. "Well," Shepherd announced, looking at Rodney in case Rodney wanted to tell them, but Rodney just looked confused. "She was born this morning, but mostly her eyes have been closed, so," he grinned at Ronan, "maybe you can look into them and tell us what her name should be, because I don't think Keller's going to release her if we don't give her a name for the records." Taylor and Ronan smiled, recognizing the offer to come see the infant for what it was. "I'd be honored," Ronan said. "Congratulations, John, Rodney," Taylor said, touching foreheads with both men and whispering in Rodney's ear. "You will be an excellent parent." She smiled and returned to her seat, leaving Rodney staring at her as if he wanted to ask if she were serious. She nodded her silent answer to his unspoken question. "Perfect timing, she just opened her eyes," Keller said as the team eagerly approached the still quiet infant, but a nurse pulled Shepherd and McKay to the side to show them how to prepare a bottle. Ronan grinned happily. "She has your hair, Shepherd," he said, brushing his fingers along the fine shock of hair that stuck out in all directions. When she started to whimper, sucking on her fist, Taylor picked her up and rocked her gently, shushing her hungry complaints and smiling when the baby nuzzled and mouthed at her breast. "I'm sorry, little one. That well is dry," Taylor said softly, offering her fingertip as a pacifier and looking up to see where the parents were. John was holding out his hand expectantly, and Taylor smiled, handing the baby over. Little cries escalated quickly, and John tried to rock his child as expertly as Taylor. He held out his hand for the bottle, and Rodney hesitated, wanting to say he made it, so he should get to feed her. John, who could see Rodney's childish logic, gave him a look which had Rodney shamefaced and handing over the bottle in seconds. Her eyes were closed as she emptied the bottle, and Rodney made some comment about sleep eating, to which Taylor smiled and said, "New babies sleep a lot, but they are still a lot of work." Then John burped her, and before she could drift off to sleep, Ronan took her in his arms and whispered softly to her, "This child will be gifted. She will learn from the great minds, but her true talent will be all her own. She will be the jewel of her people and prophet to all who possess her," Ronan decreed in a hushed tone, smiling down at the bright blue eyes. "I could have told you that," Rodney muttered. "So what do you think we should name her?" John asked, figuring Rodney wouldn't have the nerve to tell Ronan his idea was stupid. "The name is yours to choose. I can only give insight." Ronan handed the child to John, who looked into her wide eyes. "Hey, Blue Eyes," John whispered. "Apparently, you're going to be pretty smart." "As if there was any doubt," Rodney preened. John continued. "And you'll have the best teachers in two galaxies, and everyone will love you and want you on their team." John looked at Rodney expectantly, drawing a blank. "Well, okay. I probably wouldn't have guessed that last part, although, in my defense, that's your interpretation of what Conan said. Oh, what about Marguerite of Sablière? It's an appropriate namesake because, yeah, I get it, McKay. But I'm not calling my daughter Margie. Kids will call her Large Marge. She will not be fat, Rodney insisted. It won't matter. Kids are cruel, John said, rocking their little girl and cooing something to her that Rodney couldn't quite make out. When she looked up at him and let out a tired little sigh before closing her eyes, John decided. Sable, he told Rodney, who just nodded and smiled, rubbing at her little belly. Sable Caitlin Shepherd, Rodney said, looking at Dr. Keller. Shepherd, John smiled, looking at Rodney. I thought you wanted little McKay's running around. She's still a little McKay. It's all in the genes. Besides, now that declassification is underway, I'll be getting multiple Nobels and God knows what other awards and commendations. What kid wants to live up to that?